Good evening, everybody. Writers in the Round this week is going to focus on Music Business 101 again. I don't think we've ever had a personal agent, booking agent, manager before, Julie. My friend Julie Markey is here, and along with Julie are three of her clients. Is that a good word for you, Gina?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure Julie probably has other words for you.
Oh, she got a lot of words for me.
Gino,
more words for me than the other guys, you know what I'm saying?
Gino Finelli is here. Gino is one of Julie's clients, and in case you're wondering, he and Julie are also partners. Mark Andrew is also here, as is Stephen Busey, and we're going to start with the song from Gino.
Someone took you right out of my arms. Oh, but I still have all the thrill of your charm, babe. Lizzie wants what? My tender eyes that shine, babe. They're gonna guide me, oh, through the night away. I see you in my dreams. Ba do do da ba ba da ba do do yeah, ooh yeah yeah. Now why would they take you out of my arm, babe?
You know I still have your charm.
Ba ba do ba do 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 hey, all that right, babe? Ooh yeah. All those eyes they're gonna guide me down, baby. Oh, deep, deep in them dreams, I'll see you in my dreams. Gonna hold you in my dream, babe. Someone took you right out of my arms. Ooh, but I still have a thrill of your charm, babe. If they want drop, oh, man, tender high. Shine, babe. They're gonna guide me. Oh, do the night away. I'm gonna see you in my dream. They're gonna guide me. Oh, do the night away. I'll see you in my dream.
Oh, nicely done. That's definitely the way to start a radio program. You're in fine fettle today, Gino.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Richard.
So I'll try not to make the questions too hard, Jules. But I'm curious about, I've never actually had the opportunity to talk to a personal manager, I don't think, for artists. And you would think that would be somebody who would come here and usually when they do come, they stay way in the background and they never want to say anything, you know, because they, not surprisingly, want all the spotlight to be on the artist. But I'm wondering how it works from your side of things. Why don't we start at square one? How did you get started doing this?
Music has always been one of my biggest passions, starting when I was 14, going to see Luther Vandross and Michael Jackson sneaking out of the house, getting in trouble.
Where did you grow up?
Detroit.
In Detroit?
Yeah, so I had access to all the big players. And my first concert was Journey. All my girlfriends, we had a little group called the Candy Crew. Our whole mission was to see concerts every weekend. I'm talking New Edition, Run DMC. My music has evolved over the years. I mean, I would say, well, I took Gino to his first Widespread Panic show. So I turned into a hippie after a few years.
You had good ears for a 14-year-old. You were going to see Run DMC?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson?
I made New Edition late for their show because me and my 14-year-old friends were stalking them. I can't make that up.
No, you can't.
And then also...
How did you get that close to them?
We were just innovative, you know? When you
and
get
what
your,
does that mean exactly? How does innovative translate in this situation?
You figure it out. You figure out where they're staying. They were staying at the Pontchartrain. I just go by the escalator. There's only one way down the hotel. They have to pass us. It was just a different day back then, without social media, of course.
So they come down the escalator.
At that point, the security had pushed us aside because they were running late for their show.
So they did have security.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so they had people.
Because four 14-year-old girls are real.
No, you'd have a hard time passing for being part of the band in any sense.
No, but it was pretty amazing what I grew up with in Detroit, the music, seeing the Victory Tour with Michael Jackson. I remember exactly what I wore. I remember that day to a T. I remember the first time I saw Prince, even the Beastie Boys, but like Bob Seger, my first show, Journey. So it wasn't pigeonholed into just one genre. And I think that's why Gino and I, when he came to visit me after 20 years, he used to do rockabilly. And I took him over the Honest Pint, which is a beautiful stage. And he did an open mic night. You were here like 2 days. And he pulls this out of his guitar and the singing. And I was like, wow.
It's a whole new bag.
I can't say it on the radio.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I said... You're good.
You don't suck.
You don't suck. That's right.
You started out as a rockabilly player?
Oh, yeah. I started out, actually, before that, I was doing rock and roll. I was any kid. I started playing when I was like 10 years old and, you know, just doing rock and roll songs. And then you evolve into different things and different playing. And then I played rockabilly for about 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you emulating?
Oh, I love, you know, Pat Cupp and his Flying Saucers, Gene Vincent, and the Blue Caps.
Yeah, you know, that guy that played guitar with Gene Vincent.
Cliff Gallup, man,
that
guy's
something else.
Monster player. Bill Haley and the Comets, Eddie Cochran, all those guys. I mean, those were, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you still know those songs?
Well, I met Franny Beecher. I've met Franny Beecher. Bill Haley was long gone at that point. I met him.
Who's Franny Beecher?
He was a guitar player for Bill Haley and the Comets.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
And I walked up to him as a meet and greet, and they had the checkered suits on and everything. They're old at this point. I go, Franny Beecher. I'm like, Rock Around the Clock. That song changed my life, that solo. I was like, you ruined me. You know? He started laughing.
Bill Haley passed away. He was pretty young, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't take very good care of himself.
At my age, everybody's young.
That's true. I can relate to that. You got a rockabilly song in you these days or not?
You know, it's a little bit of it. No, it's more of blues than that. But I haven't done rockabilly in a long time, you know.
I believe this guy's got a chicken on us.
I am going to shake, rattle, and roll. I know that kind of stuff, you know. But I do it more of a blues jazz kind of style now.
Please do.
Are you sure? Your face and hands. Get out of bed, wash your face and hands. I'll get in that kitchen, baby. Rattle pots and pans. You're wearing those dresses, the sun come shining through. You're wearing those dresses, and the sun come shining through. Yeah. I believe the soul, baby, Lord, the devil to you now, man. I said, shake, rattle, and roll. Shake, rattle, and roll. I said, shake, rattle, and roll. Shake, rattle, and roll. It won't do right to say, doggone soul, yeah. Zoom, zoom, boom, boom, boom. Zoom, zoom, boom, 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 boom. Oh, that right now. Now, come on, baby.
I believe you to sow you the devil now I know. I believe you to sow you the devil now I know. Oh, the hard I work, pass up my money, go away now. I'm like a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store. I'm like a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store, yeah. I can take a look and look at you, say you ain't no child no more, baby, now. I said the shade ain't it wrong, shade. Baby, you can see me grit my teeth now, man. I said, shake, rally, roll. Shake, rally, roll. I said, shake, rally, roll. Shake, rally, roll. You won't do right to save your doggone soul. Is that not bad? Oh, you won't do right to save your doggone soul, baby, now, man. Oh, you won't do right to save your doggone soul.
Still got it. Gino Finelli, our guest, who probably would have been arrested if he'd sung that lyric back in the day. That's the Joe Turner version of it, isn't it? That's not the cleaned up version.
It's a big Joe Turner version, yeah. For sure.
So, Julie, so you survived this misspent youth in Detroit. How long did you live in Detroit?
After I graduated from college, from Wayne State University in photography, of a BFA, I packed up and moved down to South Carolina, Hilton Head, and I was there 17 years, and I was a huge part of their music industry. When I say it's a pretty neat town, I know everyone thinks of it as a tourist spot, but there's a lot of local musicians, and I was known for the Street Team Girl. I don't know if you know Angie Aparo, but he was one of my...
I do.
He's a good friend of mine, and any show that he would do with Freddie Ward, they would call me, and they knew I'd bring the party. And I never got paid for that. And I would literally make flyers for these bands that would come in town. Like, I'm sure you've heard of The Last Waltz that go on tour. Jelly and Benji Shanks are good friends of mine. Outformation, which is Sam Holt, that's going to be playing here soon. He had a band called Outformation. And they literally came up to me in this bar in Savannah and said, "Are you Julie Markey?" And I'm like, "What? You know who I am?" But you got to keep in mind, this is before social media. And I would make these flyers and put them up anywhere that I thought two eyes, 5 hours, what, you know, how many eyes would be looking at it. And I made a little name for myself in that town for just being a promoter. And then when I left Hilton Head, I moved here to Chattanooga on Lookout Mountain January 1st, 2014. I wasn't going to stay here. I wanted to go to Nashville and be a PA, a personal assistant for a musician.
Why did you move to Hilton Head?
That's
just because you wanted to be in the sunshine?
Well, no, I moved to North Carolina with a man that broke my heart as soon as I got there. Oh. And I only had my Harley, and I couldn't go back up north. So I went down there and made my home, which to this day, I really think that when God calls me, my funeral's going to be in Hilton Head, because that's where my family and my friends, and that's where everyone. It's a great place. I miss it, but I would never move back there. I love Lookout. I love our community here. I love everything about Chattanooga. I think, and I made a good choice by staying here and not going to Nashville, because as soon as I got there, I had an anxiety attack with all the traffic. Here, I drive down the mountain, and I'm like, I'm here in 10 minutes, and it's just a smaller, but yet very hip and progressive town.
It has become that way. Yes, for sure. The story you're telling is that it's probably the same story I have heard so many musicians tell, that they start out as fans. We all did, right? We're all, first and foremost, we're fans. And then at some point, it goes from something you don't even think about you know, I don't know how much time you were putting in with those flyers and everything, but I suspect probably a fairly significant portion of
and
your time,
money.
Right?
And
for free,
yes.
Just because you love the whole, mm-hmm. the music and everything
I
else.
I believed in it.
But then I guess there comes a point where you say, wait a minute, maybe I can get paid for doing this.
Actually, I never really thought that. But when Gino moved here and...
Oh, he's the one who corrupted
you. Well, he had... Richard, somebody had to book him and, you know...
That's true.
And that's I knew all the connections in Hilton Head, and that's where we kind of started. So between him playing in Detroit with his private gigs, we've created a nice little line down the highways and byways where he can go on tour for, you know... I remember one time when I first started booking him, I've learned a lot in 4 years. The first time I booked him, I was like, I got good news. And he goes, what? I'm like, oh, and there's bad news too. He goes, what's the good news? I'm like, I just booked you for 3 weeks. And he goes, what's the bad news? I'm like, you're not coming home for 3 weeks. And that was in our honeymoon stage where, oh, uh-huh. Now I'm like, okay, you can go for like 4 weeks now. Just bring home the bacon.
That's funny.
I've had conversations with any number of musicians who would like to do what you're doing, Gino. They're doing okay here in Chattanooga. But then the question is, and I think it's one that you and Judy could both answer, how do you take it from you're doing well locally, you've got a following, people enjoy what you're doing, how do you expand?
I'd like to take that one.
Take it.
When I first started booking Gino, again, I remember him doing rockabilly. So for me to hear this noise.
So you guys knew each other when you were kids in Detroit?
30 years, yes. He was my model in photography. He lived upstairs.
Oh, you lived really close to each other.
Oh, yeah, we've known each other very close for over 30 years. And in fact, his girlfriend at the time, Kelly Sharon, she owns a place down in New Orleans. That's one of our stops when we go to New Orleans. So we got places to stay, and that's how we do the booking there. But so I called a good friend of mine, Vinny Rich. He's been in the business. I've known him since I was 18 because I used to follow around a band called Second Self. They were signed with EMI, been to Muscle Shoals, been to California, been a lot of places with this band. He was always really like my mentor, but I was just the girlfriend. But when I got in the business and when Gino permanently moved here, I called him up right away. He's the one that said, if we don't do booking, we won't eat. You know, I left my job to do this full time. I've been doing Red Tail for a couple years now. This year was official. I open up, you know, EIN number, the bank account, making it business license, all that, because there's such a huge market for what I'm doing. I literally get at least 3 to 5 emails a week on mostly locals wanting me to book them. And I know they're talented, and I'd love to say, oh, yes. But I've got 4. The only other one that's not here that's part of this foursome of family is Webb Barringer. And if you think about it, you got places that book music on just Friday nights only. Well, I just got all 4 Friday nights with my guys. I know that doesn't sound fair, but that's what it is.
So you can't take on too many people because the number of gigs is limited?
Yes. I take on regional artists right now that I do what I call part-time booking. Jason Bible, we've talked about him before from Savannah. He's going on tour mid-April from Savannah. Got him at Wanderlinger and Backdoor Tavern up in Knoxville. Still working on that tour. But and this is the great trade agreement. With Jason Bible, I've known him for so many years. He lets Gino and I stay at his guest house in Savannah. So that trade right there is worth it. He doesn't have to pay for a hotel, and he doesn't have to pay my commission for this tour. So there's a lot of bartering and trading. And
yeah, what I'm getting is you've got a lot of connections.
Oh, yeah. I've got connections all over.
And that's the first thing.
I mean, I could call up
to do what you do. You need all these connections. You need people you can call, and they know who you are, and they trust you.
Yep.
And you can say, I've got Gino, he's available, and they trust you, even if they've never heard Gino, because they know
you,
right?
I'm building that. what I think is pretty awesome is Vinnie Rich that I brought up from CEN, Creative Entertainment Network. It's a part of Sony. He had me book this up-and-coming guy and gave me like 2 weeks and said, do it. Go for it.
And do what exactly?
Book him. And he said, just...
Did you have any idea what that meant? How did you even start to do
I
that?
I talked to the booking agent, Joy Cullenberg, out of L.A., and I learned a lot. I learned a lot, and they paid me well. It wasn't just like an intern kind of thing. They wanted me actually to go on full-time. Well, not full-time, but work for them. But I really, truly believe what I'm doing right now. I know, and I've not mentioned all my artists here, but I have the best roster in this town. I really do. And what's best about it, the genre. It's all different.
That's what I was assuming. We just listened to Gino. Mark, would you care to do a couple of songs? Mark Andrew.
I've got the key to the highway, built down and bound to go. I'm gonna leave here running, walking's much too slow. I'm going back to the border. I'm gonna run this highway till the break of day. Oh, give me one more kiss, mama, before I have to go. 'Cause when I leave this time,
Mark Andrew is our guest. Is that plastic or glass that slide you
glass? Glass. Yeah. There's glass, ceramic, brass. I like the tone of the glass.
I do too. I think Dwayne Allman said the same thing, didn't he?
And the old blues guys, they took wine bottles and liquor bottles and busted the necks off of them.
Right.
That's where it originated. I really didn't get into playing the blues till I came to Chattanooga.
When was that?
It was 1979. I used to come here on vacation to fly my hang glider.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I was a certified instructor, and I worked for a manufacturer. And one of the guys that owned a flight resort here in town found that out and called me up out of the blue one January day in Indiana when it was very cold and snowy and said, I'd like to offer you a job. I said, yeah, I'll be down about a week. And back then, hang gliding in Chattanooga was like snow skiing in Colorado. It was a huge sport, and a lot of tourists, and just a lot of fun, you know. And I was flying the latest gliders and competing in competitions, and I had sponsors, and I was making...
Were you flying off that ramp up on Lookout Mountain?
Oh, yeah, many times. But it was a very vibrant time in my life. Unfortunately, I kind of laid down the music when I was flying. It just kind of consumed me. And there's been people in my life that have influenced me. And one of them was my neighbor, Mr. Robert Sims, Do Re Mi Music. I was working on his house doing carpenter work, and he was teaching people. And I was thinking, I should get back into playing, and I'd like to learn to read. And so when it come time to pay my bill, I said, let's just trade out music lessons. And we traded out and became great friends, and we still to this day play music. That was over 30 years ago. But I've had a lot of good luck with people that influenced me in the music. A lady named Jill Taylor out in Dunlop, Tennessee, heard me playing one night in a coffee house, and we became good friends. And she taught vocals, and I asked her one day to give me lessons. And she said, well, I don't think you really need lessons. I said, well, I want to be as good as you, you know. So we would work together on Tuesdays, and then she'd come down on Fridays to the coffee house and sing with me. And it was just a huge, you know, helped me so much. Yeah.
What did she teach you that was big help for you?
Oh, there's all kinds of regimens to vocals.
To take care of your voice.
Improving your voice and bringing it from down low and breathing right and pushing yourself to higher ranges and lower ranges. And the music business. She was a touring band. She had an all-girl band that toured for years and played with Loretta Lynn and Dolly and, you know, pretty big deal. So she was a professional musician that would give me hints on how to get work and how to deal with restaurant managers and helped me tremendously. And then along came Mark Porkchop Holder. I really got reinfused with the blues hanging out with Porkchop.
You couldn't not.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I had all these songs in my head for years, but wasn't playing them. So he came to my auto shop one day, and he said, how much to fix my old van? And I said, $100 and 4 slide guitar lessons. And I was kidding him. And he said, you come down the house tonight about 7 o'clock. So I went there every Monday night for 8 months and learned all kinds of, not only technique of playing the blues, but the history of the songs and just, again, I love the folklore and the history, and Mark was right on it. You know, he'd tell you who wrote it, who played it, you know. But he, like Jill, would suggest songs to me that he thought would work for me, which was huge. And then I got to do a whole lot of shows with him together.
That's a trial by fire.
Oh, yeah.
With him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we had fun.
When he starts playing, he just lets go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen anybody throw themselves into the music the way he does.
Yeah. You know, I've been lucky with people influencing my music and my career. And one of the latest is sitting right over to my right here, Mr. Gino Finelli. I've learned a lot from this man, too, about the business and about hard work. You know, I had played part-time for years and worked day jobs, always wanted to go full-time. And I was taking care of my son and getting him through college here at UTC. And the day he graduated, I quit my day job and decided to go for it, just do music full time. And then by, you know, destiny, the fate of the gods, I met Julie and Gino maybe a week, 2 weeks later.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. Told Julie I'd love for her to book me. And about 3 weeks after that, I had 22 shows on the books.
Way to go.
Yeah, yeah. The record's 9 in one day. So I like to tell Julie, you know, when we're talking on the phone, we get ready to hang up. I said, honey, book me another 9, would you?
Oh, you don't say honey. Tell my name.
I call her my music angel. This is an old Howlin' Wolf tune. Howlin' Wolf is one of my favorites. And all these old blues songs tell stories. This is his story about everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everyone wants to laugh. Nobody wants to cry. Everyone wants to laugh. Nobody wants to die.
heaven. Nobody wants to die. Everyone tells the truth. Everybody tells a lie. Everyone wants to hear the truth. Everybody tells a lie. Everyone wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die.
Andrew is our guest, along with Stephen Busey and Gina Finelli and Julie Markey. And Julie runs Red Tail Booking and Management and represents Gino, Mark and Stephen, as well as Webb Barringer. So the question was, Julie, so, and I think you kind of answered it, you have a lot of connections. You've met a lot of people over the years. So when somebody like Mark comes along, you can offer him a circuit where you could book him on a, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, something like that.
I kind of didn't understand your question.
Okay, somebody like Mark, for instance.
With Mark, it was different.
Okay.
Because
Mark had established a reputation locally, right?
Mm-hmm. We've been working on it for 3 years. I've been doing this.
What drew you to Mark? When
he brought him over to a Puckett show and said, you got to meet this guy.
Who, Gino did?
Gino did. Gino was playing, and I went over and talked to Mark. We got along great, talked. He was pretty, not persistent, but very friendly, and he's one of our best friends. He comes over to all of our holidays, and he's family now. So are you. That's like a threat.
Yeah.
So are you.
Yeah.
But no, so that was kind of in the beginning, and then when local talented artists saw what I was doing and getting in the right places, like 1885, the Social, Puckett's, Edley's, the Feed, you know, I'm just naming a few here. They see
these,
that
these are all Chattanoogas.
Yes, this is just Chattanooga.
Right.
I had the door knocking me down, and I would have, in fact, Webb Barringer was on my wait list for a year.
Webb wanted you to represent him.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yep.
Do the people who book acts at the Feed Company, just as an example, would they rather work with somebody like yourself than work directly with the musicians?
You know, that's a fine line, and I can't answer that because I some places, they don't want to work with a booking agent. They think it's going to cost them more money. But in all honesty, with my company, I do the marketing. I reach out to local radio stations. I reach out to the paper. I reach out to any social media that's out there that's imperative to advertise, market with. And I do have to mention, though, I'm very excited. Just the other day, I brought on Monday Night Social. And a couple weeks ago, before that, maybe a month, Ariel Armazu. She's a singer-songwriter, 3 kids, mother, most beautiful singer-songwriter. Mark and I just went to see her at one of those private little
House party. Chattanooga House Party.
And it was at a bonfire.
One of Christie's shows?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and it was a great networking evening at Stratton there. Christie that put it on. And this town, the sky's the limit. However, there's so much talent that it's hard to showcase everybody. And what I'd like to do come 2020, which is a month and a half away.
Yeah, it's not far away.
And I'd hopefully be welcome back on your show to promote the fact that Red Tail Booking and Management is going to have a showcase over at, like, either Songbirds or the Tivoli or the Walk, somewhere where we could sell tickets to support these full-time families. They got kids. This is their job. And just share the love. And they may not be 100% Red Tail artists. I've got people like Rick Rushing and Lon Eldridge that I've gotten gigs for before. Joylene Kara. Just people that when my guys are booked here and somebody calls me last minute, I'm kind of getting to be known as the entertainment guru. Somebody's freaking out. They didn't show up. I need a musician. And I see my guys are playing. I will reach out to anybody, not anybody, but people that I've heard and I believe in.
So you're a one-stop shop.
Kind of, and I'm doing all the booking.
On both sides, you're in the middle between the musicians and the places that are looking to
hire
them.
Well, yeah, and I'm also making great relationships with some of these places, like Edley's Barbecue on Manufacturers. I do solely all their booking.
So that's Chattanooga, but that's
correct.
Not all you book.
Oh, no. I've had Gino on tour from Texas to Detroit, to Florida. We're working on Stephen Boosie. We're in 2020 now that, you know, he recently left a full-time job and he's got 3 kids and a wife. And I remember having this conversation with him saying, be ready, because that, you know, that check that you get every week is not going to be there and it's going to be different. Well, he's killing it.
Okay. This is what I hear from a lot of people. They'll say to me, I'm sure they're good, but if they're not getting airplay here, then we can't book them because nobody knows who they are. So why would they come to the show?
Oh, that's a great question. I've had worse questions than that. I've had a lot, but a lot of times you got to look at the artist and their following. And unfortunately, nowadays, you do go to social media and you do go to their website and people look at numbers. They do. When I do Facebook events, I don't display the guest list. Because to me, it's like the popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people should judge music on how many people are going to a show. They should listen to their song and make an educated decision that I like this music. I would like to go and support the local arts.
Oh, I'm with you. Okay, but that's Chattanooga. So you have that kind of built-in pitch. These are local musicians. We should be supporting local musicians. That's how we build the music scene here. But when you're talking to somebody in Texas or you're talking to somebody in Chicago about Gino, just for the sake of argument, and they say, well, I don't know Gino. Never heard
or
his
sometimes
music.
They say, I don't get it. They don't get his music.
And what do you say then?
A lot of times I'll be like, you just got to give him a try. I almost want to guarantee, you know, if I know the venue and I know he's going to be a good fit and for, you know, there's places that Mark plays that I'll never put Gino in. Vice versa.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense because they're so different.
Yeah, and you got to read the people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to also do your research before you contact a venue. And like Abington, Virginia, for example, they've got several newspapers out there, but they're really great people. They'll put Gino in. Mark's played there. They'll help me with that. Radio stations, the Blue Plate Special in Knoxville. That's always a good way to get the word out. Sometimes when you're working with singer-songwriters that you can do a ratio from 30 to 70% or 50-50 to originals. So I ask them, and I also ask them their capacity. Because right there they know that I'm thinking big. I'm not thinking little. And like if they tell me 150 people, I'm like, I think we could do that. You know, so it's always like you really got to sell. It's selling.
How can you guarantee 150 people will show up in a town where they don't know the artist?
A lot of times you'll do an introductory rate.
You're bargaining.
Well, I'll give you
an artist. You don't necessarily know this person, but try them one time. And
you know what happens?
Then you'll want them back.
Well, not only that, the word spreads.
Right.
I mean, for Gino, when he first went to tour through Huntsville, Montgomery, Birmingham, all the way through New Orleans and Port Neches and Beaumont, Texas, and San Antonio. and the word gets out because, I mean,
Does the word get out along the road? Do the people in these clubs talk to one another, Gina? Do you get that sense that you arrive at a club and they talked about you with somebody further up the road where you played?
Yeah, and a lot of, let's say, Texas. A lot of people in Texas know each other because of social media, from San Antonio to Corpus Christi.
They're in the same business.
Well, what is, a lot of them are in the same music.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay attention, and they let each other know. So I got fans all through Texas.
And how long did that take?
One tour.
Really?
One tour, and I went, there was a band called the Coffin Cats. They said, we want to take you on the opening act. I was like, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? It's kind of a rough music, you know? I'm like, first ashtray that gets thrown at me, I'm off the tour. You know? And it turned out just to be opposite. I had, so you know, they were doing 1,000, 1,500 seat rooms, packing it and selling merch like crazy. And I did great on the tour.
It's not just his talent. He's got the whole look. Well, that.
It's just,
well, no, people see it. And they, what is he going to do? Like with the Jalopy Brothers, they all wear overalls and Snapcats, make it look like they just got off the Packard plant.
Yeah.
And it's a gimmick. I mean, and this is very important. I put this on my Facebook page. When you walk in, you want everyone to know you're the musician. You're not somebody looking for a table. That's true. It is true. Like, you all do that. You have the look. You got your black hat, and you all dress very professional for what they're doing.
We got a Stetson in the house, too. Yeah.
Steven, we're talking about you, the hat and all the rest of it, would you care to do a couple of songs?
Yeah, for sure. But while we're on the subject, though, as far as the, making fans in different places, one thing I love about playing here in Chattanooga, you never know. There's people who fly in here, and they're on business, and so that's another way I've been able to make fans in different states and end up seeing them in other cities when I play, because I met them here in Chattanooga. So
there's this sense, I think, on some people's part that we're somewhat isolated, but that's not really true, is
right.
It? Not anymore.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
And I guess social media and all the rest of it has also helped to erase those distances a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that work for you a little
bit? Yeah, it does. This song is an original song I wrote called Pillow.
And when you feel tired, I'll be the one that you can lay your head on, girl. And when you feel lonely, I'll be the one that you can wrap your arms around, girl. And on those nights when the thunder booms, I'll be a shelter you can bury your head into. So let me be your pillow, a place for you to kick back and take it nice and slow. And if ever you should feel alone, I'll be the one that only you can hold. I'll be your pillow. There's no counting how many tears I've had, or how quiet it's been when you've yelled. And on those nights when all you want is to be held, oh girl, yeah, I will be there. So let me be your pillow, a place for you to kick back and take it nice and slow. And if ever you should feel alone, I'll be the one that only you can hold. I'll be the one that only you can hold. I'll be your pillow.
Thanks, Stephen. Right. Stephen Busey, our guest, along with Gina Finelli and Mark Andrew, and Julie has Red Tail Booking and Management. She represents Gino, Mark, and Stephen, as well as Web Barringer. And you're also representing my friends Monday Night Social.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to play a song called Move.
I'm here to put it on you. Girl, go get your makeup. Go get your hair done, put your favorite dress on. I'm here to put it on you, let that feeling take you. If it makes you wanna dance, move like you never moved. She lets that rhythm take her over, but nothing else can seem to control her. When she moves, and everyone's watching from far away, is she dancing the lights that shine from the stage? And we move. And I'm in a state of elation, where everything's sincere, and she's the only thing my eyes can ever fix on. I'm here to put it on. Girl, go get your makeup. Go get your hair done. Put your favorite dress on. I'm here to put it on you. Let that feeling take you. If it makes you wanna dance, move like you never moved. Music plays louder, she pulls me in. We head to the dance floor and take another spin. And we move. And everyone's watching from far away. It's we dancing the lights, they shine from the stage. And we move. Cause I'm in a state of elation, where everything's sincere, and she's the only thing my eyes can ever fix on. I'm here to put it on. Girl, go get your makeup. Go get your hair done. Put your favorite dress on. I'm here to put it on. Let that feeling take you. If it makes you wanna dance, move like you never moved. Move like you never moved.
When Stephen said he was going to play that song, Julie lit up and said, man, that's my favorite song. Well, I see why she said that.
That's the song that I heard at Songbirds. And Mark was with me. And he's with the full five-piece. And I had a wait list. And I just annihilated the wait list. I said, he's on.
That's what I was going to ask you. Well, the first thing I was going to ask you is it just happenstance that other than Monday Night Social, the people you represent are all solos?
Yeah, that's why I was a little intimidated the other day when we had our first meeting, and I had the whole band and then me, and I was like, I'm used to working with Web Barringer, and then he talks to his band, and so it was neat. I got him a gig next Saturday in Hilton Head. They're gonna play at Big Bamboo. I don't think with what they're doing with their new releases, and you know, they're teachers of music, and they play it, you know, more on the weekends. They're going to be more regional, and not they're not looking to play at the West End and stuff like that. So it's not going to interfere with what I'm doing, what I got on my plate right now.
But it's just by happenstance that the other people you represent are solos. You don't necessarily look for solos.
No. I really look for who I can work with, who is different. Like, I'm not going to bring on another New Orleans style. It just wouldn't make sense. I just try to keep my artists, the talent, unique. And they're special in their own way with how they put out their music.
Because you operate much the same way a label does. You don't want two people on the label who are going to be competing with each other.
Correct. It's true.
So you're looking for individuals.
Yeah. And I mean, my biggest hurdle is when I introduce myself to a new region, a new town, is trying to get their attention, but yet I don't want to overwhelm them with five videos, because they're not, you got to look at these people. They're not going to listen to more than, they're going to look at it and they're going to fast forward it and see where the chorus. I'm really careful about how I introduce myself. And my little secret lately is asking them questions. So they have to get back to me. Like, what's your venue? What's your venue like? I want to make it look like, are my artists worth playing there? You know, and that's for the restaurants, the breweries. I'm also working with corporate events, festivals, and that's a whole different ball of wax, because that usually you have to pay, you know, $25 to put a song in, or so I got to talk to my musicians on a constant basis. Do you want to submit your music? You got to look at this lineup in the past and see if you're a good fit, because I don't want to waste their money or my time, their time.
What I'm getting from talking to you, Julie, is you play quite a number of roles. You are clearly first and foremost a fan, and you approach music as a fan. As a fan, you represent the musicians and you talk about them the way a fan would talk about them, that you like their music, and that makes you a good salesperson. I
wouldn't be able to sell them if I didn't like them.
You have conviction. You're also a booster in terms of you're keeping your musicians,
working.
Yeah, well, just believing in themselves and believing in what they're doing.
Well,
it's a very difficult thing to do.
They have the talent, and not every day, but at least once a week, I tell everyone I would not have a job if it wasn't for them. I work for them. We're a team, we're a family, and wouldn't have it any other way.
But Julie has made it possible for you to do this full time, I think. Is that true, Gina?
Yeah, absolutely. She's worked really hard at it. You got to remember, when I first moved here, I came from Detroit, and I didn't tour in Detroit. I was playing 4 or 5 days a week for 20 years. So I was like,
that was it. You lived in Detroit, and there were enough gigs. How big is Detroit? Like a couple of million people?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I call it Metro Detroit, because you got downtown, but then you got all these metro areas around it. And it was stupid that I didn't tour, but I just was making all the money.
You had no reason to. Yeah.
So when I came down here.
And what brought you down here?
Well, I was going through New Orleans, stopped and seen her. Never made it there.
You were headed to New Orleans and you stopped by to see Julie.
Yeah.
Who you knew growing up in Detroit.
Yeah, so when I moved down here, I'd go to a place and they'd be like, Gino, who?
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell are you? You know what I mean?
Or if they thought it was Gino Vanelli, they're like, yeah, you can play. You want to play tonight?
Yeah, I got that too before. People thought Gino Vanelli. And they're like, and it was funny. I go, really? Like, I can come in at any time. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I'm Gino Vanelli. They're like, we're all booked up.
Wrong letter.
They do? Yeah, they have a 10.
I'm going to do the song I wrote when I first moved down here. Because it's Julie's show, though, this is Julie's Red Tail Book, and it's a song I wrote for Julie, so I hope you like this one. Julie, my sweet old babe, on Lookout Mountain, you fear for me, yeah.
darling. High above the phone, your love came to me. My sweet old babe, I've been a mountain babe. Your love belonged to me. With a touch of fall, your eyes keep me warm. Follow, follow where my heart took a lead. Julie, oh my darling, oh yeah, late night firelight. Georgia's calling, babe, for me. With a touch of phone, your eyes keep me warm. The way you light my life, oh babe, never be alone. Oh, Georgia's calling.
Such a little charmer, isn't he?
That's awesome.
You're on to me.
That's awesome.
You're on to me, Richard. It takes one to know one, right? You know what I'm saying?
Julie Marquez, Red Tail Management and Booking, is on Facebook. This has been Writers in the Round. I'm Richard Winham. Thanks for listening.